Sahana Vavatu, Sahana Bhunatu, Sahaviryan Karavavahai, Tejasvinavaritamastoma Vidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay. Page 127. Sukadeva Goswami continued, just as by executing various pious activities one achieves different positions in heavenly life, by acting impiously one achieves different positions in hellish life. So your different actions will get you different results, just as different mentalities will get you different results. Same action, different mentality, get a different result. Then different activity, different result. Those who are activated by the material mode of ignorance engage in impious activities, and according to the extent of their ignorance, they are placed in different grades of hellish life. Right. So again, the extent is always there, just like the extent of your piety. Really pious, Lord Brahma, you know, less than you, down from there. If one acts in the mode of ignorance because of madness, his resulting misery is the least severe. Mm-hmm. Right? So if somebody is actually clinically crazy, then he'll get less reaction. Just like even in the modern law, if someone did something out of being crazy, then they're given less of a sentence than if they were in full consciousness. Yes.
Okay, like so that. Then how do we define, isn't crazy basically mode of ignorance, isn't it? I mean,
well, there's degrees.
Yes, I'm just trying to, how do we define, how does that happen, you become crazy from a Vedanta perspective?
Too much desire.
Too much desire.
Too much lust, then you go crazy. So yeah. Depending on how much lust is, that's how much crazy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So either a temporary, just you're blinded by desire, or it's something that it was, you know, you were fixed in that consciousness. Yeah. So then in this, the next life, then you're fixed in being clinically crazy.
Yeah. I'm just trying to figure out how that is better.
How is it better?
How does it excuse you?
Because you're not exactly conscious of what you're doing.
Well, we said in the last class that human means being. You can't.
Yes, means there, but this is. But we're talking about human crazies. We don't generally count as your standard human position.
Right? Okay. So they're in a sense they're burning off karma because the crazy state
comes
means from something previous.
Yes.
So it's kind of like.
But it's a situation they're in. So that situation being more unfortunate, there's a less of a reaction. Okay. In other words, being crazy that do something whimsical is more standard. Just like the children don't get as much of a reaction as parents.
Yes.
You know, or animals don't get a reaction. They're acting in ignorance. So,
what to do with? I know quite a few devotees who are clinically crazy.
So
what to do?
Chant, take prasad. You know, keep them in situations that they're least disturbed.
Meditation maybe?
I mean, that's always there.
It's a real one.
Yeah. And then it's a matter, is it actually psychological crazy, or it's actually physical that they don't produce a particular hormone or something, so if they don't take it then they're crazy, and if they take it then they're normal.
Then psychological.
Basically chanting kirtan, prasad, you know, being around or situations people they like, so that they're more, you know, they means do.
Association of devotees.
Yeah, it means at least those who they can work with and who can work with them. Like that, that's all you can do. Like if it's too crazy, then Prabhupada mentions in Gita just chanting Omkara. Because if they can't get the whole mantra and all that, just chanting Om, it will actually purify, it will get rid of the crazy. Because right? Crazy comes from being too much material desire.
But if they make too many offenses, you have to let them go?
Or? That, it's a matter of you can work with something in what position it's at. You know what I'm saying? So if it's not at a point that you can work, then you leave it, you know, like that. So what can you do? But if you can do something, then you try. Like that.
Not so easy.
No, it's not so easy, because it's very unsteady.
Yeah.
Like that. So, I say. Mental institution Samkirtan doesn't seem to be a,
it's not a
overly popular.
No, it's not a flourishing.
Yes, it's not
field of.
No. But definitely, you get effect. But the point is you get more effect somewhere else. So unless you have to be there, you're visiting some other relative. So then, while you're there, you preach and cultivate. But if not, you might find the same effort, you get more results somewhere else. Yes, it means it goes to their parents. 16. If they're strictly following Western culture, then probably 13.
Like all this thing they mentioned, like somebody that tortured animals or like, let's say, they eat meat because...
Yeah, the reactions go to their parents.
So the 16, they don't... It's not safe.
No, they don't get the reaction, it goes to their parents. But because they're in ignorance, there'll probably be less reaction than if they were older. And, you know, in other words, the older they are, then the more reaction is there. That makes sense. Yeah. One who acts impiously but knows the distinction between pious and impious activities is placed in a hell of intermediate severity. And for one who acts impiously and ignorantly because of atheism, the resultant hellish life is the worst. All right, so, in other words, if they are crazy, that'll be the least. If they know the difference between right and wrong, but they still are doing wrong, that'll be intermediate. And if they are acting totally in ignorance because they don't distinguish between right and wrong, and they're atheists, then that'll be the worst. Because of ignorance, every living entity has been carried by various desires into thousands of different hellish planets since time immemorial. I shall try to describe them as far as possible. 3. Srila Vairagavacharya comments, just as there is gradation in the results of happiness for those who observe pravritti karma, prescribed activities, with faith and goodness, there is gradation in the results of misdeeds also which are done with faith in the mode of ignorance. Hence, the ensuing miseries vary from person to person. Avidya kama means the desire to obtain the fruit. Result, follow. Karma means the subtle impression of such desires. Right, so, you have...
Wow.
Can
you,
No, wait. They're only pious enough. So you got you. Oh. See, the mentality over there was right.
Okay.
So then you guys.
So that's like, automatically going, but we have to make an effort.
Yes. Your friends are back.
Determination.
Yes, see, yes. You apply your intelligence to do the right work. And
you're almost crying.
Now he's smiling.
Yes. Well, it is hot. The main thing when it's hot is don't move.
Yeah.
Unless you move, then you
have... This is Bengali style. Everything is like...
Yeah.
It's like cold.
You, nothing moves. Then you don't feel the heat. Yeah.
Don't move.
Yeah. If it's dry heat, you can move.
Yeah.
But it'll still have effect, but less. Yeah, but in like here, humid heat, any movement gets a result. But if you move the air, you feel cool. Well, in the hot air, you put a fan, it doesn't matter.
This is like fan blowing.
Yeah, fan blowing hot air.
I mean the dryer.
Yeah,
the
yeah.
Dryer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, so something started. Let's see what they're up to. Most likely the thing went out at the Goshal and now they're not coming to work on it here.
Hmm.
Okay, so karma means the subtle impression of such desires. Mm-hmm. So you have the desire, but there's an impression behind it, mm-hmm. right? It means I perform an activity. Mm-hmm. Why am I performing it? Because there's a perceived goal I can get. So it's not technically karma is the action itself. Karma is the perceived result that I'll get based on my previous impressions. Does that make sense?
Yes.
No. It doesn't even matter what you say now. Yeah, yeah, great, great. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Okay. Did that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah? Yeah.
So karma is basically, it's an effect, it's not a cause. It's what...
Means your impressions, you could say, are the cause,
yeah.
which are the effect of your previous work,
yes.
which is based on your previous impressions. So actually the logic is it's going from impression to impression.
Yes.
So
yeah,
as your impressions develop, whichever path they take, that's the path that your actual material life will take. What body you'll get, what kind of facilities you have, what kind of senses you have, what kind of experiences you have. So it's all based on the impressions.
And that's why we have to stop identifying with it.
Yes, we have to stop identifying. Well, I mean, we had the first one that this morning, you know, this morning's, what do you call it? Stumbling block that I'm not the controller.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now is on to the next one, is what is the result and the effect, and wow, this is serious. Okay. No, that they just went to the Goshala and plugged it in. Now they have to do the work here. So wiring has to be done. Rewiring has to be done. See, do you want to know the history? Back in 83, the Gurukul moved from the long building in block A, B, and the boundary wall from northwest corner up to the gate. That was the Gurukul. Because there was like 120 kids, 20 teachers, like this. It shifted to here, like that. And at that time, it was also only part of it. It was only 8 bigas of land. Now the size is like 30, but it was 8. So then, that we came here, there was no electricity. So it was just grass huts, and we used lamps. And I'm not sure how long later, but it was some time. It was some years, you know, easily some years. Then the temple worked out that they would bring electricity over here for us. So the generator was in, and they brought a line from the generator that was for the Gurukul. But because the Gurukul is grass huts and that, they didn't bring the line straight into the Gurukul, which they should have. But they took it to the Goshala, put the main box there from the Goshala, then brought the line back into the Gurukul. Then we had electricity. But we also had generator. So the Goshala and outlying areas here, they had electricity, but no generator. So now you can understand what the next process is. Everyone over there started taking off the line, right? So now the problem is the line was put in for the Gurukul at that time, but now you have you know, this building here, the next building over, Goshal has grown, all the housing in the back, the Gurukul here has got everything, but the line was only actually meant for the Gurukul. So now you have this line that's really small, but actually a large, you know, community is using it. So then the problem is the line's too small. And so therefore, unless you rewire everything, then, you know. So that's what they're doing now. They're trying to adjust for what's to make it the best for the situation it is. Does that make sense? So that at some point they'll bring in a bigger line so that it'll, you know, work for everybody. But right now they're working on the line that's there from 83 or 85 or whatever it was.
We have to borrow the same
old line. No, no. Yeah. Plus their lines, I think, are aluminum and stuff like that. Ours, I think, is a real cable. Still, it's not.
And now, according to that, considering air conditioning, now some devotees have to do the crazy.
Yeah, yeah. No, no. It's all like that. It's always been a problem. Because people work on what's there today and don't worry about tomorrow. So, yeah, what to do.
You said electrician warm, it's not enough.
No, no. Because it'll cost money. That's the problem. See, so you have to understand, money comes in, never money doesn't go out. That's how a temple works. It only collects money. It doesn't spend money. That's it.
So Prabhupada had the move. If you get $1 million in the morning, you spend it by the evening.
Yes.
Seems like
you can't go here anymore. Yeah. What to do? Okay. It basically comes down to our concept of spiritual. Because our concept of spiritual tends to be tainted with yang. So that means spiritual means no problems. So I won't take care of anything that is problems. So therefore things like how people will live and all these things and facilities, then that's, you know, and if you could get by with basically nothing, then that's good enough rather than what's comfortable. Because that's problems, that has to manage. That's governance. Right? And we're not from backgrounds generally of governance. At best, you know, business. You know, that's the top ones are business. But otherwise, most others, it's just, you're just a common person, whatever the government does, that's what you have. So we're not used to the concept that if you have a community, means, you know, you have to put in roads, electricity, plumbing, water, and you have to pay for it. You provide it, and then you take tax. But no, it's that we don't put it in. We'll control, but we don't put anything in, and they should pay us.
And then they should pay the tax.
Yeah, and they should pay the tax. You know, so that's what I'm saying. It's all one way. This one, you have like on sometimes one way valves. They'll open one way, but they close the other way. That's the style. Because we just don't know. We don't have experience. But if you're Krishna conscious, that's why we say Vaishnava is the Soshan, taking care of Vaishnavas, Vaishnava Seva. Then you look at it, yes, it's Maya to take care of the material things, but it's service to the Vaishnavas. Therefore, we take care of the Vaishnavas. So then we look at it, you know, like that.
You're not taking care of the things, you're taking care of the Vaishnavas.
Yes, you're taking care of the Vaishnavas, and then they have things to go along with it. So it's just a matter of where you fix it. We're used to fixing it on the facilities rather than on the people. Right? So people are part of the facilities. Rather than people use facilities or generate something like that. So it's just a matter of the switch. So with time it'll come because we know probably, you know, the golden age, it has to work like that. And probably said all the Vedic knowledge will be reinstated. That means they'll have to be acting on that platform. We can't not act on that platform and make it work. Because otherwise they could make it work. Then Berlin back in the 40s would have made it work. They didn't make it work, so that means it takes a little bit more purity. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So intelligence and technical is not enough. Purity is actually what makes the Vedic system work. Personal is what makes it work. So that's the... Hmm? sun god. I was wondering why is everyone sits in a particular like that. It's in line with the fan. Yeah, I can hear. And then the two fans, there's two lines. There's one line. Okay, now I get it. I only caught it today.
I come too late, so.
Here in the second one. Well, actually, no, you're off the second one. Okay. So we understand that actual karma is the endeavoring to fulfill impressions that you have. Right? That's actually the karma. It's not the work we're doing, because we always attribute, it's the work that makes the karma. That's why we have a problem that the karmis do one work and then we have to do the same.
Yes.
Or what we're doing is what they have to do. You know, it's either we're living in the temple so they got to do that, or what they're doing, then we'll just do like that, rather than, no, it's the work that's is being done, what's appropriate for the situation. But it's the mentality that defines whether it's karma, gyan, or bhakti. Does that make sense?
Yes.
In this verse, sarva upadhi vinir muktam,
yes.
These upadhis, they will go away automatically while we perform devotional service.
Yes, yes.
But it appears from this description that the more efficient way to do it is to create devotional upadhis.
Yes.
And then, you know, not to pay any attention at all to the material upadhis.
Yes.
Then they go quickly and this side increases quickly.
Yes. Well, it's just like if you have unwanted guests at your house, if you don't feed them, they go away quickly.
Yeah, and then you end up in that hell that you didn't feed the people who came.
The worms of Aiden.
The worms. Yeah.
Creamy Bojan.
Yeah.
But everybody eats in creamy Bojan. Come on, you know.
Yeah, but what they eat, we don't want to eat that.
Yes. Okay. Where was creamy Bojan?
Creamy Bojan.
No, that was the day one before. We'll get to it, right?
Yeah. It's coming. I mean, these details.
Yeah. Oh well. Yeah, we'll get into the details. So at that time, we'll rediscuss it. So, in other words, someone comes to formal dealing that you do, but you know beyond that, you don't do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like was it? Yeah. So somebody came. They did special take care for this person when they came like that. And then that person expected that that's going to be the standard of care. And then they just didn't go away for months. Yeah. Someone was telling me, he says this, it was very, very, very difficult.
Yeah.
The person was kind of innocuous, so it wasn't that much of a disturbance, but it was very... So in other words, you do standard for what the situation is. You don't do beyond that. Now, if you have close friends or that or those you encourage, that you do beyond. You know?
Yeah.
Like that. But those that you don't, it's just the formal, and so it doesn't go beyond that. So that what's done is that's done. You don't have to do more. And so then naturally then that runs out of the way. But those you want to encourage, you take care, you go out of your way, you do special things, then they stay. You know, like that. So those you want to stay, you do that. Those you don't, you just be formal. So then they go and you don't go to the hell.
So. Win-win.
Win-win. Okay. Even sacrifices can be taken as avidya with a desire to obtain the fruits of such sacrifices. Right? Because that'll also be that you're in ignorance, because he's taking it to the step beyond. Because these Vairagyavacharya and these other ones, they're going to be Vaishnavacharyas. Otherwise, why would we be worrying about them? Right? This is not some grammatical thing that will take a direction from someone who's expert in the grammar. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. So pointing out is that from the Vaishnava point of view, even following the Vedic system perfectly, but with the desire for getting the fruits of actions, that's still also an ignorance. Though it's a pious ignorance. That's why they're going to not go back to Godhead. They're just going to end up in other pious places in the universe.
Yes.
And then come back again. Yeah. Then the problem is if they were able to follow everything now, they had the fruit of desire, will they still be able to, after they go to that heavenly region, mm-hmm. more accustomed to sense desire because there's more impressions? Then when they come back here, then they don't have that level, then the tendency might be to go towards sin. So it's just a matter of time. We always have to remember, house always wins. Right? So Maya always wins.
Is there a tendency to have every other life here and then every other life out there somewhere, like going...
Every other?
Yeah, you go to the heavenly planets with your piety, burn it off, come back here, then you take a trip to the subterranean heavenly planet because you wound up with that mentality, come back here, and it's like a yo-yo kind of effect.
That's why it's called samsara. Yeah. You're just going around in a circle. You have up, it means just like we were saying with the movement of the sun. You have the east-west, but you also have the light and dark.
Yeah.
You know, like, does that make sense? You have the effects in that way. So you have like that, like a cross. So you have the samsara, which means you have the circle. You have, if you go up to down, then you'll have the left is, let's say, good on the way up, and the right is on the way down. But within that, you can divide it in half from side to side, that the upper half means they're inclined towards piety, the lower half means they're inclined towards sin. But why is the right half going down when the upper half is inclined towards piety? Because they're but going towards an impious mentality. And the other one, even though it's still in the sinful, they're towards a pious mentality. That's why you see, you may have simple people living out in the, they don't have much, but they tend to be pious mentality. So that means then these people are on the way up. Right? And then you have people who have all nice facility and all that, but they don't have, the character's weak or bad. They're on the way down.
Then you also hear about people who may get stuck on some mentality. Like, it seems to me like people in Scandinavia, they probably get reborn in Scandinavia because it suits their mentality so well. That place.
Yeah, but how many, but when you say a few, what do you mean by a few?
Pretty much all of them.
No. I don't mean the individuals. I mean, when you say a few rebirths, what do you mean by a few?
Oh, yeah. It's ongoing. Many.
But how many is ongoing?
Thousands, I don't know.
Yeah, but that's standard.
Yeah.
I mean, the cycle of samsara is slow. It's not that. Going from Indragopa up to Brahma, and sometimes we see as the acharyas, though, I think we only saw it when we're starting up into this area. I think in Paranjana, it's the first time. Always we hear of the Indragopa germ. We just hear of germ, but then in there the acharyas point out is it's not just any germ. It's the germ that's in stool. That one's the germ on the bottom, right? You know, in other words, those little one-celled things—they're the bottom. But the ones that reside in stool—they're the lowest of the one-celled. What do you call it? Protozoas, or like that. You know. And then the other end is Lord Brahma.
Yes.
So that's your...
Yes.
So it takes a while to move between them. It's not that you do that, today you're, Jose Manus, and then tomorrow you're Lord Brahma, and then the next day, you're, Tripura Sura, and then, it's not like that. It's you do it, like Prabhupada mentioned with, I think it may have been Ravi Shankar, that he's been playing sitar for a thousand lifetimes, right? And he's according to that world, he's good, but not that good. There's people way better than him, because is that his name?
Yeah.
He was like, he learned 25% of what his guru taught, like that. While then, the guru's son knew 50%, but the guru's daughter knew 60%. So he's good. But there's others that are way better. So that's a thousand lifetimes, and he's that good. It means he's world class. It means what we're talking about is, better than him, you're talking about, that I know of, three people. But there, you can see it's always, like him, they'll do a performance that's fabulous. And then another, it'll always be good. There'll never be a bad performance, but there's that super excellent, and then there's that.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's other ones that it's always, basically always super excellent. So that means they've done it, another 1,000 or more. Yeah. So 2,000, 3,000. So therefore a thousand lifetimes in, you know, there in your red house with white corners, you know, where people are 1 kilometer away from you is
standard.
Yeah. Yes.
About the point that the Buddha brought up, I have a doubt that the mentality matching the place might necessarily lead to rebirth there. Isn't it what we've learned that they're born there because of their mentality? So it's natural that the mentality matches their place.
Yes. It's not the place itself that generates it. It's as we see, karma is the impression. Then the facility is created for that. We think the facility is what creates the thing.
So they're there because of the mentality.
Yes.
And according to what they do in this life and remember the time of death, they have a mentality in the next life.
Yes, but the thing is that being in that environment, it supports the mentality. So therefore, if they're comfortable, then they tend to, you know, they want to come back that way. You know, they might move around. You know, this time they're just on the main peninsula, and sometimes they're more on the coast, sometimes they're more inland, sometimes they're on one of the little islands around. You know, sometimes there's a guy with a shotgun, anybody gets very near them, you know, like that. But they're going to be moving around. You know, sometimes they're rich, sometimes they're poor, an intellectual, it's still they can do a lot. And even if they do something, go, they'll come back later because it's all chewing the chew, so... But when they, from a particular lifetime, go to hell, suffer there, then go through the animal species, their human life will be back again in the same position. Right? Yeah, in other words, after the guy dies and he goes down and, goes to hell, you know, and is roasted and this and that, then he takes birth as about 1 billion chickens. Then his next birth, he comes back. He's born in Kentucky again with a, you know, he's a colonel and he's got a, you know, nice mustache. Yeah, you know, like that, the goatee and stuff like that. So, And so now again, now is he going to open a chicken thing again, or is he going to get into, you know, how you say, you know, watermelon? Yes. Like that. So that's what you see. So that also then is just it keeps going through. So it's
so the guna and karma, they're very tightly bound together.
Yes.
So it's very difficult actually to separate them.
Yes.
Because one generates the other,
yes,
and then it supports the
yes
next one.
It nourishes, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
It nourishes.
They're the cause, the nourishment, the results. You know, but the results go back to the position again, the situation, and then that's your facilities for your next, and because of your impressions, then you want that result. So yes, you can't really separate, but you have to be aware of the two. That's why it said someone should do their guna and karma that matches. So someone who, because you have individuals where they see someone else is doing a particular work, they're getting more facility for it. I can also do that work, I want that. But not necessarily that I have the mentality for it. So that's why in the Vedic system, it's not what your skill is, it's what your mentality is. Because skill, then it's, yes, of course, the activity is done by someone with that skill. But it's more important is the mentality they have. Because that's what actually makes the skill. Yes.
Because nowadays, many people understood karma or some parts of it, and it's very popular. Everybody's worried about the karma,
right?
But
right.
Guna, we didn't come yet to that point.
No. People, that guna is not part of the thing because it's all about I do this work, I get this pay.
Yeah, that's
right.
It.
Not that I have the qualifications for it. You know.
Yeah, this
is that
still
sense?
Not the discussion yet.
Yeah, no, it's not because otherwise it's like. It is like this. Okay, I have the boss in the company, or the big guys in the company, and I have the common worker in the company,
yeah.
Right? But the company's so big, who actually does the day-to-day management?
The manager.
Yes, and where are they?
Middle.
They're in the middle.
Yeah.
Now, but where does the middle guys identify themselves? Yeah. They're the big guys on the top. But the point is they have the karma in business. Means in that way of that, but they don't have the guna.
If they had the guna, they'd have their own.
Yeah, means otherwise they'd be on the top. So technically, by guna, they're on the bottom. But they, because they do the work of the guys on the top, they figure they're on the top. That's why nobody likes them. The top doesn't like them. The bottom doesn't like them. Nobody likes them.
Yeah.
Right? Because they're bigger than they should be for the guys on the top, and they're bigger than they should be for the guys on the bottom.
It's a temporary position.
It's a temporary position. Yeah. In other words, if the company reduces, they're the first to go. Yeah. Like that. So that's the whole thing, is that there you have this mix where people are doing something they shouldn't be doing. You know, that's also the point. That's the problem with the mixed varnas, is the guna and karma don't match.
Yeah.
You know, that's the difficulty.
Interesting to see in the modern academy that psychology and sociology are just completely cut off from any other type of science. It's not dealt with. They can't figure it out, actually.
Yeah.
No, biology, physics, chemistry, they're all interrelated in some way.
Yeah.
But these...
As soon as it gets
into mentality.
No. Well, it's just like the physicists. They're also in their own area.
Mm.
They don't relate to anybody else because they're superior, so they don't. You know, it means that if the others want to play around with their theories, mm-hmm. then that's great. But they don't use theories go down, not up. you know, quantum may throw something out, chemistry may pick it up, but not chemistry throws it out, and quantum picks it up.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the thing. That's the difficulty in the modern, is that it's not unified. While the Vedic, it's 14 books, they're all unified around Paravidya, around the philosophy. So you have the philosophy. Then you have the Aparavidya, how you're going to apply it practically within the situations within the material world. Like that. But the modern, each one's its own, because it's all pratyaksha. So this one uses their senses this way, that one uses their senses that way. So, yes.
It appears also then when the guna and karma don't match in a person,
yes,
they're very unhappy.
They're unhappy and everybody else is unhappy.
Although position, you know, may appear something.
But they're not, as a person, they won't be satisfied. Because it has to match. That's why the Vedic system is how to match all this. So when we look at it simply as prestige, influence, power, wealth, that's the wrong way to look at it. It's because that's the impersonal.
Right.
It's actually, the personal is, where are you going to be best situated? Like I've seen some people is that they are, you know, doing some general things, then something comes up, they can get a higher position, you know, position of management and that, and they're very comfortable, they're very relaxed. And when problems come up, it's not a botheration. Like I mention once it was going to, I think we were going to the GBC meeting. And they were in a really, I think, something was wild in the meeting. So I mentioned to this one GBC man, then, you know, oh, it must be so difficult, these meetings and this and that. And he just stopped and says, no, but that's the service. Says that is the service. Is that that's what we do? We work out these problems. We try to see like that. So it's not a botheration, mm-hmm. like that. So that means his guna and karma matched, like that. While I've seen others in the same position, is that they're no longer, you know, they retire or something, you know, and they're just so happy. They don't have to do all that, this and that, and for them, then they're just comfortable. They just do those services that they like. So that's the whole point, is the idea of in the Vedic system of the guna and karma is that it matches, then everyone's satisfied. And if everyone's satisfied, then they can actually have community and be happy amongst mm-hmm. themselves. Mm-hmm. Right? Two happy people probably have more in common than two people that have a similar, you know, experience in nature of that but aren't happy.
Yeah.
You know, because how do you interact?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the... That's then what we're seeing here is the acharyas bringing out. It's not the mechanics. We've dealt with the mechanics.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We've dealt with the mechanics. Then we've dealt with the piety. Now we're starting to see actually where the piety... Now, why do this? One is we can tell the difference between the mechanics and the duties. But more important is between the duties and Krishna as a person. You know, and us as a person.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, is that sense? So there's the subtle, that's kind of switching, you know, but they all go on. It's not that in here we're not talking about doing things right according to the karma, like was mentioned this morning. Someone does the activity because they want it to do nicely, so they make the proper endeavor because the results are Krishna. So that means the Brahman platform is there. They're doing that and making the endeavor. That's because of the Paramatma level. But why are they doing it? What's the real inspiration? Because of Bhagavan, because it pleases Krishna. That's going to be the most stable. Because you follow the rules, follow you accept them, you do. You don't accept them, you don't. Or you accept the duties or not, but if you accept the person, then you'll do. Right? But if you accept the person, you already accept the duties and the rules. Does that make sense?
Mark, up until here in the last 10 chapters, all the locations we've heard about, they're for people who have properly performed prescribed duties.
Yes, and that.
The exception of Bharatvarsha.
Yes. Well, Bharatvarsha is the place where now you then establish where you're going. You know, it's just like you go to the ticket office to buy the ticket. Then you get on your various trains and go to the various stations and come back. So you're at the ticket counter because it's ticket time. So that's what Bharatvarsha is. At least this part of it. Bharatakanda, this is the ticket. Yes, this is Karma Bhumi.
So to get to Karma Bhumi doesn't require pious acts, but it may require burning off impious. Yeah.
That's there. But it also says that there's some piety because from here you can so easily go back to Godhead. So they understand real piety is that. So in other words, there's the option for Krishna consciousness. Especially as Krishna consciousness grows, that means it'll be more based on those individuals who have Agyata Sukriti. That's why they would be here, so they can take advantage.
May there be some gradation in the different ages of those who come to Bharatvarsha that have different desires, those who come in Satya, more inclined?
Yes, no, that'll always be there. That's why it's that. So in other words, Kali means there's a mentality to have this kind of thing. We'll think there's more people now, but there's actually less.
Yes.
Like that. Much more people before on these other ages. But now there's less, but you know, because of overcrowding, you know, because we all sit in one place and we say it's overcrowded.
We all want to move to the same place.
No, it's like, you know, how many people can live on, you know, in Fifth Avenue or something? You know, it's just, you know, so therefore it's overcrowded, but it's not. Whatever misdeeds performed exist in the living entity in a subtle form. So that's the whole point. It's an impression. That's what will guide them. Because from that impression, then they're going to act on that and do further impressions. So you perform something pious, that will make an impression for that. You do something impious, it makes an impression for that. That's the seed that we're talking about.
Is that what's mentioned in the devotion of Kavita?
Yes. That's so that is the most important. We always work on, oh, this happened, what can I do? What ring can I get, or what, you know, thing can I hang in the corner, or what yantra, what mantra, you know, like this. How did you get yourself in that situation? That's more important. It doesn't mean you don't deal with the symptoms, but the point is the root's the most important. Mm-hmm. That's why in Ayurveda go after the root. The mana will only go after the symptoms. Yes.
Why is this so important? You already got yourself into that situation. It would be easy to say to people who want to know how we got in here, easy to say what's important, but how we get out.
Yes, yes. Means if you know how you got there, then you can also know how you got out. Like if you're in a situation, you walk through the door and then you find yourself in a pit of crocodiles, then you know by going back out the door, then you get out of that situation. Yes, it is important how to get out, but it's also important how you got in. But nowadays it's just about I've got, okay, I'm here, it's not how I got here, and it's not actual real solution, it's just how I can solve the problem right now. As they're saying, it's not actually knowledge, it's not a big, we're using, because what's the point? We're using the Vedic knowledge, let's say in the Vastu to adjust it, but why? Is it about Krishna? Is it about ourselves? Yeah, so that's what I was saying. So still, technically, it's an ignorance. That's the point. So then it's a matter of, well, okay, so you want the situation to go nicely. Why should the situation go nicely?
For us to enjoy.
For us to enjoy. So then that would be ignorance, right? Or at best, some passion.
Okay.
Yeah, like that. But if we look at it that so I can do the service, because if the situation is such that I can work, then it's there. You know, if it's too hot, brain doesn't work, so it's hard to do things for Krishna. Not so hot, then brain works better than you can do for Krishna. So it's not our comfort, it's that things work better for Krishna. Our comfort comes along anyway. Because we have a guna and karma, therefore we can function in this environment. Then, so therefore, in that environment, we do service to Krishna. So the facilities of that environment, the results of that, the experience of that comes along with it. Does that make sense? You're like taking prasad gets rid of hunger. But we're honoring prasad, we're not getting rid of hunger. Right, you know. Does that make sense? Yes.
So the statement that karma means the subtle impression of such desires, the subtle impression of bija, or is it something even more subtle?
No, it's basically the bija. I mean, the most subtle is I'm the controller and enjoyer.
Yes.
You know, that's the most subtle. So that will then cause everything else. That's why when we work on it, that you're working on the bija, that the specific desires that are there. But more important is we're working on the root of it, because that's why only devotional service can get rid of it. Because when you get rid of I'm the controller and enjoyer, you can get rid of the seeds. Otherwise, I get rid of these seeds, I get those seeds. You know, because the living entity has a mind, has senses, right? Needs experience. So they will act. So unless you give the spiritual, they will act within material. Yes, then everything goes. That's why it says in devotional service, then all the seeds can't function. That's the main thing. That's what we're trying to do. That's what we're trying to discern. It's not about these. You do that, it gets rid of these. And the service itself takes care anyway. You're hungry, honor prasad, it gets rid of hunger anyway. But that's not the point. It's not to get rid of hunger. It's to honor prasad.
So addressing material consciousness.
Yes. Like that. By replacing with spiritual. So we're discussing this so we can actually tell what is material and what is spiritual. That's what Bhagavatam says is the highest knowledge. So now we say it's the work is the sinful or pious. No, it's actually the impression. Because it may be, if you're doing a recommended activity, then how do I define whether it's karma, jnana, or bhakti? It's the samsara. Right? Then, but because now if it's not recommended, then of course, then we can say this is sinful. Of course, someone may say, no, but what if I use a sinful thing in Krishna's service? Right? But it'll be mixed, because otherwise why would you use a sinful thing? Right? Because it won't be because it's our nature. Right? Like that. You know, it will be because of our conditioning.
When you speak of samskara, does that mean the impressions that lead to a certain mentality?
Yes. The mentality is based on your samskaras. Like, why do we, if you have a list of words and say it to a group, right, and ask them, when you say the word, write down what comes to your first thing that comes to your mind, and then you compare them afterwards, you get something very different, right? You know, you say beach, you know, somebody thinks vacation and everything. Somebody thinks beach means, okay, you can go down there and make money and all that.
I'd reckon beach.
Yeah, what's first thing? Beach comes, the first thing to come by. No, he writes beach, then you write down Bondi. Like that. But for someone else, let's say you have that old war hero, then beach means D-Day.
It means post-traumatic stress.
Yes, you know, it means, you know. Is that interesting? So that's the whole thing, you know. And if one of the persons in the audience is a whale, then it's not a good experience.
probably already not that many good
experience. He's sitting there in the chair.
Okay, yeah.
He's not sure if the chair will hold him up.
Right? No.
That's an anxiety.
Always.
You know, it says, in other words, they go together like primary and secondary. You can't separate them, but there is a difference. And you have to know the difference to actually use it properly. So even in activity, unless you understand what is the karma, then you won't be able to actually use it properly. That's the whole point.
Yes.
So that's why we see is the karma is there, but it's actually, why are you doing it? Because of the guna. So that's why if the guna is wrong, the karma can look so good, but it's never actually good.
Is the guna aspect not so popular because it requires more introspection?
Yes, it requires use. It's not just you can just learn the skill and that's all. You actually have to yourself change for a standard. I mean, the point is, it's not a new thing. When we say modern, we mean what's non-Vedic. So it's as old as the hills also, right? Because that was the whole point. Why is it that the doctors and lawyers and administrators, they're not drinking the hemlock and the scholar is? What's the difference? Because the scholar's saying there's already a universal standard, you have to adjust your life for that. And all the professionals are saying, no, we make the standards. Right? So in other words, it's a Greek thing, this relativity. Right. And the Greeks are the Palindas, they're known as the Malechas. The Yavanas. Well, it depends on which place they're.
Yeah,
the Yavanas. So Yavanas are against the Vedic culture. So therefore, that means they're actually against authority. Yes, and they're the birth of modern civilization. Yes. Both in the way of just how the structure of it, the social, but also the philosophical, you know, the scientific, the arts, everything. Basically, everything can be taken back in the Western world to Greece. You know, at least anybody who connects themselves with a Christian idea. Right? If it's not, then they'll take themselves back to her, which was not part of Greece. So... Okay. Yeah, that's the difference. Is for the Greeks, the Ionians, all that, they'll say they came from somewhere else. They don't know where. Right? But the wall is from Ur, they don't say they came from somewhere else. It's just where they were living. So, hope we didn't make it. Greek upper rod there. Current went off. Okay.
Look at these guys.
Look at
their Greeks.
We heard that.
Some Greeks are a little dark.
Yes.
Not dark.
Okay. Because of the dissimilarity of these, the miseries suffered are also dissimilar. Right. So in other words, the misdeeds performed, okay, in a subtle form. So the difference is in these subtle forms. Therefore, the miseries suffered are also dissimilar. So it's not that someone did the same one thing and the other person did exactly the same thing. Why aren't they getting the same results? That's the point. The bureaucrat just wants to look at that. This was done. This is the result. Rather than it's individual, what's the mentality? That's why Manu then mentions what's done, who it is, what's the situation, what's the mentality. What's their knowledge, you know, what's their personal, you know, ability and character? All that you have to take into consideration. But to do that, you have to be educated. Right? So you can't use politics to be in positions. It has to be by qualification. And that qualification has to come from character. You understand? So it's a very different approach than the modern. That's the difficulty. The results attained through such misdeeds number in the thousands. Actually, they cannot be numbered. Thus, it is impossible to narrate all of them in detail.
Therefore, I will narrate only a few important among them. So that's the point. You can't name it. There's thousands and thousands, but 26 are main, and others would be slight details of that. You know.
We get the idea.
You know, in other words, then, you know, that what it was, that one that was, you know, the copper plate, but perfectly flat.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, some other places, a little bump here and there. You know, or it's not made out of copper, it's made out of, you know, tin, yeah, or, you know, something like that, or aluminum. Aluminum also conducts heat very well.
It's also poisonous.
Yeah, yeah, also that. So like that, you know. Sorry?
Stick some nails.
Stick some nails in it also, yeah. You know. Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, they have you walk around on your hands, you know, like that. Okay. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur adds, the cause of the three types of tamas is explained. The jiva has ignorance without beginning. It is impossible to say when or how the jiva developed a relationship with ignorance. Right? So we only know that it comes, that ignorance came. Right? Ignorance happened. Right, you know, that's. But other than that, we can't say. That's why trying to deal with it is not important. The results of desires arising by the jiva's beginningless ignorance of three types is transformations of those desires. Among the destinations, I will describe in detail the various hells. Right. So, coming from goodness, passion, or ignorance, these are going to be the three technical types of ignorance. Right, because even things done in goodness and passion that are following the rules, that are not technically sinful, the mentality is still ignorance if it's fruitive.
Is this also referring to what was mentioned about this acting in ignorance because of madness, in ignorance, but you know the distinction, and then acting in ignorance because of atheism?
Yes, that could also. That would. That's the point. Is it's always threes are the.
And the resulting suffering being different gradations.
Yes, like that. Because you're going to get difference from goodness, passion, ignorance. You're going to get difference from all these things. So they're going to create the samskara. Now, these hells are specifically you've done something against what you're supposed to do.
Yes.
But where will that come from? It will come from the mentality of the samskaras. Mm-hmm. Right? So when you do something wrong, then you're going to get those three. But the point is where does this mentality come from, the mundane? That comes from, I'm the controller and enjoyer. So that point of where the living entity associated with ignorance, that we can't say. That's therefore the term anadi. It happened before he's in the material world. Right? So that's the point. So we understand it happened before. It didn't happen here.
Before controlled by time.
Yeah. And we don't come from Brahman. So if you don't have the material world, you don't have Brahman, that only leaves one place left. Right, that's the spiritual world. So it has to come from that aspect. But how he came across, then associated with ignorance, that we can't say. Does that make sense? You know, if you're making cow dung patties and you decided, hey, I could eat these instead of using them to cook for Krishna. You know, we don't know what it was.
But at least we have the desire.
To?
We have the desire to enjoy.
Yes, that's the point. That's why it says the envy of Krishna, because the enjoyment's not the problem. The enjoyment is doing it separate from Krishna. That's the envy.
Yes.
So that's actually the main point.
Yes.
Not that we necessarily, you know, stepped out, you know, when everybody's there and Krishna's about to go out into the cowherd pasture, and the mother just showed us feeling anxiety, the gopis are feeling anxiety, the cowherd boys are getting all excited and all that, and you know, like this, and the animals and birds are happy. We just step out there and just, you know, say some stupid things about Krishna, and why does he think he's the center and all that, and why does it like that, why can't we just do whatever we want, why does everything have to be connected? We didn't do that, right?
That's what we're doing now.
Yeah, that's what we do now. Yeah. Like that. We've matured.
Yes.
You know, like some experience. Yes. So we just are envious of the point that Krishna is control. So we just want things without him.
Yes, yes,
that's the envy.
Yeah.
Why right? Do I have to enjoy subordinately to him?
Yeah, so the expression of the envy, it means that we're not connecting it to him. Right? That's the problem.
That's what we have to see. Because we'll always say, no, we did something. No, it was the mentality. So again, somehow or another, we thought I could enjoy this. That generates, that's a samskar. Then it goes further. And so when that comes up, then we tend to go away. But it's also mentioned, though we didn't come across it yet, where Krishna then will three times come and make some, you sure you want to do this or something.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah.
And that we're determined. So we're here.
Yeah.
You know, so why did Krishna let us say, we wanted to be here. He asked us not to come, but we, you know, so that's the, what to do.
In Vaikuntha, where there's some flavor of the enjoyment for the devotee, it's always in connection with Krishna.
It's always in connection with Krishna. Point is in the spiritual realm, everything's in connection with Krishna. The material world, it's, we may connect it or not, but the main point is about the part that's not connected is how we define the material. And if it's connected, then that's the part that's elevated. Now, whether we want to take that elevation to just get a particular distance. Like, let's say, have you ever seen that there's a small truck going down or a rickshaw going down the road and there's a guy in a bicycle holding on?
Yes.
So he's not going to go the full whatever distance the other, but he's taking advantage.
Mm-hmm.
So, therefore, performance of pious activities, you know, that are recommended for devotional service, we may do that because it will take us up, but then we only take it as far as we want. So that's why the more we know, then the more we can tell if we're doing that or not. But the point is, because it's connected to Krishna, it does take you towards Krishna. And if it's not connected to Krishna, it takes you away. Right? Let's say the man is doing the Vedic rituals, but he's not worried about Krishna. He's moving towards Krishna with his back towards Krishna. Does that make sense? Yeah, so that's what Prabhupada mentioned. It says, like, you know, in certain situations, because it came up, why is it that we don't know the culture and all that, but we're connected to Krishna? Well, you see so many, like many of the Hindus and that, they're so pious and all that, but not interested. So Prabhupada said, the Westerners are far away from Krishna, but facing him. While the Indians, then they're very close to Krishna, but with their back towards him. Yeah. And so if you keep your back, it's just a matter of time. You generally go in the direction you're facing. You know, it's pretty standard. Is that? Yeah. Yeah, by facing, not by which way your feet are pointing, if you'll notice what you said. Because then, what do you call it? Sometimes a certain of the subtle beings, they have their feet are on backwards, so they'll still walk whichever way their head is facing. Just in case anyone got the wrong idea, just putting it out there, just in case, so no mistakes are made later. Okay.
So we don't come back to haunt you.
Yes. Sukadev Goswami continued. King Parikit inquired from Sukadev Goswami, "My dear Lord, are the hellish regions outside the universe, within the covering of the universe, or in different places on this planet?" Text 4. So that was the, you know, the first question in this chapter. The great, because before that, mm-hmm. no, this was the first.
Okay.
The second one's just a little bit later, isn't it? Am I wrong?
This might be the first verse.
My dear sir, while the living entities put into different material situations.
Okay, so this is the second.
Yeah.
Yes, okay. So before that he said, I've explained anything, now what do you do? Now he wants to know why they're in different situations. Right? And then having heard about this, now, you know, so where are these hellish planets? Right? Because we discussed everything else.
So the answer to the first question was their mentality.
Their mentality, yes. That's the whole point. How do they suffer or not? That's the mentality. The great sage Sukadeva Goswami answered, All the hellish planets are situated in the intermediate space between the three worlds and the Garbhodak ocean. Right? So they're also in Antariksha, but they're below Patala and the Garbhodak ocean. Right?
Above the Garbhodak?
Below Patala.
Yeah.
They lie on the southern side of the universe, beneath Bhumandala, and slightly above the water of the Garbhodak Ocean.
Right, so that means they're out on the southern side, so that'll take them away from being right under all the different talas there. They won't be under Patala, because that's only 10,000 yojanas wide. Mm-hmm. And Anantase shall be down there. Right, so they're out, but on the southern side, because that the southern side is also Yama's side. But they're on the southern side, so that puts them farther out. But just above the ocean, so it seems they're closer to the ocean than they are to Patal.
The southern side, like
that what Yamaraj is, that's his side. Right, so that's, you know, naturally, you know, where you take care of these things. You know, it's the area of Dharma, you know, the considerations of Dharma and all that, and so...
Rectifying.
Yeah, rectifying is done in that area. Yes?
These hellish planets, they're being ruled by the Yamadutas, so actually it's like prison, nobody really living there except for those
four. Yeah, yeah, no one, that means, I don't even know if the Yamadutas live there, but I mean, the people who are there, that's where they stay. But the Yamadutas, where I would expect they're more connected with the Pitri Loka where Yamaraj is. Because they're Pitris, the Yamadutas. But they're Pitris who descendants and their line have stopped offering the Pinda. So they're angry Pitris. So then therefore, since they're Pitris, they're pious. And the reason that they're unfortunate is because of the impiety of people in the family. Therefore, they're very, you could say, sensitive to people being impious. Therefore, they'll be quite happy to go and collect people who are impious. Does that make sense? So that's why they're suited for the job. Others may or may not, because they have drive. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's just like, you know, what is it? The person who's, you know, some relative is in an unfortunate situation, so then they have that determination to always see that situation doesn't come up. So they're like that. They become Yamadutas because of the impiety, so therefore they are, you know, happy to catch people who are impious. But,
They have a mission.
When they fulfill this mission, they get promoted?
They get something to eat.
That's really hot.
Because the pinda means then all your food and everything comes with that. You know what I'm saying? That means you offer the bowls of rice, that turns into a year's supply of food.
But technically, sorry, it's a bit sad, but then technically all those who died, they should go to Pitriloka because they are ancestors of somebody.
No, but you have to be someone who went to Pitriloka who you are pious enough to get there. But then the point is every year pinda has to be done. It means, you know, you have that one day a year that the pinda is done. That gives you your food, clothes, and facilities for the next year. It's like paying the rent. So they stop paying the rent, then you know, the government puts you in the projects. But, you know, they're kind enough to give you a place. You know, you're not out on the street. So then they get a share of others' pinda. So they're taken care of by Yamaraj. So that way then they're engaged. So how long they do that and everything. So in other words, how long would be the natural, I guess, span of life of the Pitri. So if during that, let's say you're supposed to be there 10,000 years, so you're there for 100 years and then they stop, that means now you have, you know, 9,900 years that you can be a Yamaduta. You know what I'm saying? So, that one. Yes?
Actually, I'm not clear about this Elish Planet. They are not in Bhumandala.
No. They're below Bhumandala because, in other words, what they're saying is they're not below the, you know, Atal to Patal, because they're just in the middle. So they're off to the south side. So that means they'll be under Bhumandala.
Yes.
You know, because Bhumandala extends all the way almost to the edge of the universe.
Yes.
So they won't be on the edge of the universe. They'll be back a little bit, and so they'll be below that.
And from which mandala would you mean?
They don't, because they're below Patala.
So they are unique.
Yes, they're in their own category.
Yes. Okay.
Like that. Because all the other situations are, you know, when you're in your form that you're going to be gaining the results of your activities. The hellish planets are for punishment.
Yes.
So they're not, means it's from your activities, but it's the punishment side of
yes.
it. Not what therefore then what body you have after that.
Yes.
Is that
like a jail?
Yes, basically. Jail within the jail. Within, so it's like yes. solitaire within
yes.
the jail.
Hard labor.
Yeah, hard labor, probably more like that. Because solitaire, at least you can handle that. You're okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, means there's Garbhodak, so they're just above Garbhodak. You know, but you know, like that. But they're out, they're on the southern side, so they're out from below the talas, below. You know, Atala and all them. Because Bhu is very big.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is, they're less.
You mean they're like right under Bharadvaja? That's also on the south side, isn't it?
No, but the Jambudvipa is 10,000 yojanas, isn't it? 100,000, okay. That doesn't say how far out they are, but the point is they're out. They're the
yeah.
south side.
South side.
Yeah, south side. Whatever it is. What? On the south side? A south side, they're more friendly. Maybe. It could be.
They'll accommodate you.
Yeah, all the boiling ghee you can drink.
Yes.
Sharing is caring.
Sorry?
Sharing is caring,
yeah. They're frustrated and they want you to share in their frustration. Okay. Pitruloka is also located in this region between the Garbhodak Osha and the lower planetary systems. All the residents of Pitruloka, headed by Agnishvata, meditate in great samadhi on the Supreme Personality of Godhead and always wish their families well. Right? Because that's the whole point of the Pitris, is they wish the family well. That's why they're respected. Right? They've done things for the family and they wish them well. The king of the Pitas is Yamaraj, the very powerful son of the sun god. He resides in Pitruloka with his personal assistants. And while abiding by the rules and regulations set down by the Supreme Lord, has his agents, the Yamadutas, bring all the sinful men to him immediately upon their death. After bringing them within his jurisdiction, he properly judges them according to their specific sinful activities and sends them to one of the many hellish planets for suitable punishments. Right, so he properly judges. So he'll always do exactly, you know, the proper. Okay. Sense. Yes.
All right. So actually, what happens is that pious activity, it doesn't neutralize the sinful activity.
No, the
it's
two separate things. They're two parallel things. That's the problem. It's that I did this wrong. What can I do to get rid of it? No, by doing a pious activity, what will be recommended means now you change the mentality because why you do sinful is because of the karma. That's serious. Now, if they took that out of there,
yeah.
I don't
yeah,
know.
They came empty. And
yeah.
this is
walking out
this
with that.
Is strange.
Oh, okay. Should be interesting.
Taking on involuntarily austerity, the reactions can be diminished.
The point is that element of suffering may, but the point is they're two separate things. That will go towards your piety, generally. Because what are you trying to get rid of? In reality, we're looking at, I did something wrong, I'm going to get a reaction. We want to get rid of the reaction. But the Vedas are actually recommending getting rid of the mentality. So that's why you perform pious activities, they get rid of the mentality. Right? So knowledge, therefore the repentance, the determination not to do things wrong, proper association, you know, proper activities. Does that make sense? Proper performance of duties. These all then will elevate us. Why? Because they elevate us from, you know, the mentality.
Yes.
So they're improving the quality of the samskaras. Yes, so they're really addressing the problem.
Yes.
So we say we want to get rid of it. This is how you get rid of it.
Yes.
We're thinking, no, just how can I get rid of this reaction? I'm not worried about what caused me to do it.
I'd like to keep doing it.
Yeah, I just want to keep getting rid of the reaction.
Yes.
Like, what do you call it? You know, it's like the, what do you call it? The morning after.
Yes.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Get me out of here.
Yeah, like that.
That's
going to
probably speak very highly of this mentality about going to church once a week, convincing your siblings
Yes, yes. That's why Mataji mentioned that gave the example of this one priest who would, you know, come in contact with the devotees in devotional service, that he noticed after a while there's a pattern, the same people came confessing the same sins. Like that. So there was no way, and even though they did a prayaschitta and they did all their Hail Marys and everything, it still didn't change. So the only thing that can, and though, so he couldn't explain this, but the devotees could explain. So you change the mentality, then you change that. So then, but you only change the mentality by devotional service. So that devotion to God is what will change it. You know? So that's why if someone has changed that, that's taken. Right? Like you see, like you know, it's not necessarily such a common thing, but you know, that means they went there and now they're fiddling with those wires. So they, you have person, let's say he was a bad person and he was, let's say, famously bad. You know, he was good at his badness. Somehow or another he decides to give that up and do good. Right? Now you'll have this, that, you know, two scenarios. Now let's say he does good, he goes on, people don't know, but then somebody who does know or someone finds out about the previous, then there's the thing of, no, but he did that, he should be punished for that. Or there's the one, he's doing good, so just let the good run. So you get both those mentalities. So if the first one happens, then you generally feel sorry for the guy. You know, if the second one happens, then you think, now this is a noble person. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is you're trying to change the mentality. It's not actually what was done and the reactions of that. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're trying to, that's what we're trying to get across. You know, that's what we're really trying to get across. But that takes, we have to be able to detach ourselves from anamoya and pranamoya and dharma, you know, the attachments to the fruitive, to be able to do it.
Yes.
Because you see those on the platform of Gyan, they're not so worried about people retribution like that. But people on the path of karma, they are like that. And especially, and either Vedic or non-Vedic. So non-Vedic definitely is, because that is the area of their thing. Justice is the thing. The other one is just, it's not pious. We don't want impious people around. Does that make sense?
So Marge, these punishments, are they effective at all in changing the mentality?
It's not necessarily, but they create some scar. You know, otherwise, why is it that you're so big and there's this little dinky spider and you're freaking out?
Sure. So it reduces the samskara where you will tend to avoid.
It tend to avoid, but it doesn't necessarily mean you will. That's why we say it, prayaschitta doesn't, that's the point. The next line. But it's necessary because the mundaner expects it. The common mentality expects it. So that's what we have to get beyond. So it's accommodated because people feel it should happen.
Yes.
Yes.
You know
yes,
what I'm saying?
Thinking about the externals.
You know, it's just like, just to take an example. Let us say you have a reigning king and he's in control. Now a criminal, and we go back in time. Okay? So the criminal is caught, it's a act punishable by, you know, capital punishment. Where does that punishment take place?
Market.
In the market.
Yes.
Right? Common man for the common people. Now let's say somebody of the aristocracy does something that's punishable by death. Where does that happen?
In the
house. Right? It'll happen within somewhere where it's private.
Yes.
Yes. Those who need to be there need. Yeah, of course.
This is the revolution.
If it's treason, that kind of thing, that's another thing. But if it's just some other transgression, it'll be private. It means people that need to be there, you know, the top people, they'll be there, but no one else will be there. Yeah. So it's for them.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
But now if you have where you don't have the governments in control and it's controlled by the common people, then if you deal with these upper people, where will it take place?
In the market.
That's the best show on earth.
Yeah. Yeah, now that's the point. Has the entertainment these days actually gone beyond the entertainment that was offered before?
Well, it's all computer effects.
Back then,
it's a real deal.
Yeah.
Now you don't have to go to the market.
I see. So that's the advantage. Okay, you don't have to go out to the market.
Laziness.
I see, yes. And all the smells and noise.
Yeah.
And all
that, so.
People.
Yeah, you can eat what you want.
Have a kilometer between you and
Yes.
But it was more practical because you get your shopping done also.
You could get out. Yeah.
The conclusion is it just changes. It doesn't get better or worse, it just changes.
Yeah. So that's the whole thing. But it's done. But the point is if it doesn't happen, people will say that something's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And because if nothing happens, no one will do anything. Because only because punishment is there, it keeps people who could be good, good. But those who are bad, it doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
So, but that's just the way it is. But at least it keeps people who could not do it from doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
Like that. So that's the whole thing. So it needs to be there, though it's not actually.
And some limit on the bad.
Yeah, it means it won't be just everybody goes crazy.
Like when Arthur Bainer was killed.
Yeah, then everybody goes crazy. So that's the whole thing. You want to limit it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
In India, we see Hindus, when a person dies, everyone, means most of the cases, they offer this pindadan every year.
Yes, yes.
Means even the person is does the suicide also, that person is like...
Yeah, but technically they're not supposed to. If they suicide, you're not supposed to do any of those rites.
But is it others also? Like, is it that everyone is going to Pitriloka because when
no, but if they've gone to, that's why it's called. That's why it's Putra, to save from Put, from Patal.
Okay. So by offering Pindadan, they are saved from
it. Yes, that they can be saved from it. So that's why it's done.
Patal is not bad.
Sorry.
Patal is not bad.
No, but here Patal means, you know, Patal there means the bottom, but this is really the bottom. You know what I'm saying? It's just like you have the jar, and you're down to the bottom. It's okay, you guys. But when there's nothing in there and you have to get in the scrape, that's down to the bottom. So this is the difference between, you know, like Antariksha, and then there's Antariksha. Like that. So there's Patal, and then there's real Patal. Yeah.
Naraka.
But even being on Patala, you know, it's not.
Not ideal, but it's not bad.
Yes.
Comparison to this.
Right? Yeah, comparison to this. Yeah, no, it's probably it's definitely a hell. They will take Patala any day to the hellish planets. Yeah. Okay. In his commentary to verse 6, Srila Vairagavacharya comments, Yama lives there. When his servants bring the dead to his loka, planet, and present them before him, he, assisted by his servants, punishes them strictly according to their evils. It is Narayana's ruling that he should look after this job, which he does with obedience. Right? So it's not necessarily a nice job, but he does it. Anybody who's not a devotee, and from at least from this part of Bharadvarsha, they go to Yamaraj. The difference is if he's pious, then the Buddhas simply are escorting him there. You know, so they behave nicely, right? And if he's sinful, then they don't worry about it.
I'm just saying that he's pretty busy.
He's very busy. That's why he's empowered. Otherwise, how do you do? And he's a great devotee. Otherwise, how does he deal with all this? So it's said of the Bhagavatam, his Bhagavatam's the biggest. Because he has the stories of all 8,400,000 incarnations of Krishna in all the species. So that he can remember Krishna no matter what species the living entity is ending up in. Like that.
But he only sees humans.
So you're thinking that that demon dog next door, he should be visiting Yamaraj also? You barked at your neighbors.
Because animals, they're not punished.
No, that is punishment. Being the animal is the punishment.
It is. So my question is, whoever is born before Yamaraj, those human beings?
Yes, only human beings come before Yamaraj. And then from there, then they go out to the hellish regions, they get put into animal species and all that. And when that whole line is finished, then they're put back into the human position that they were in when they started the whole mess.
Okay, so it's only from Bharatvarsha.
It appears, yes, because below that you come up to here, above that you come down to here. So it's Bharatvarsha is where everything comes to. Yeah, but it's quite regular. They don't have statistics. They always have statistics like this. One person is dying every year, born every... Yeah, so it's quite... They're busy enough. Every second or two, someone, they're picking somebody up. And sometimes, at least somebody was saying that he was... Where was it? Somebody came a devotee, but after the whole trouble, he was there and he was in the hospital. I guess he must have been in a coma or something. So he's floating around the hospital and he sees these Yamadutas. This is before he met devotees. He sees, after he met devotees. But he was, you know, brand new, didn't know anything. He just had met them. And then he's floating around and he sees these Yamadutas show up and they have these carts and they're going and collecting people from the hospital. And then they see him also floating around, so they grab him. And then when he gets down to Yamaraj, then when he talks to him, he tells them, why did you bring him? He says, you have to take him back. So then he came back, and then like that, and then he...
became
more serious, yes. Definitely became more serious. Yes, that was definitely a wake-up call. So, you know, whether it's, you know, it's like if you have, you know, I'm sure at, you know, natural disasters and other things that happen, then, you know, they're all sitting around, you know.
Yeah.
You know, sitting there, wait for it, you know, and then, you know, then.
My older brother worked in the hospital and he had the experience of a patient who was leaving his body and the moment of death became very fearful and climbed up on the ceiling and said, get those dogs away from me.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and he didn't know about...
I told him afterwards.
Oh, okay. Okay. Oh, we still have another few seconds. Okay, here we go. Where were we? Yes. Oh.
Actually, all the people are going to Yamaraj. All the persons who have done simple activities.
But also those who have done pious. Everybody goes to Yamaraj. It's just whether they're taken there nicely or not nicely.
And Yamaraj is a pure devotee. Lavamatra Sadhu Sangha applies to them.
Yeah, but they don't associate him with them as a devotee.
Oh.
Yeah. But how is everything working in this world? It's by devotional service anyway. Karma and jnana can't function on their own. Only with bhakti can they do. So only if somebody devotedly applies himself to his karma does he get a result. So even the karmis have to use bhakti to get their result. There must be a devotion to whatever they're doing. Right? And what they're doing means following the laws. The laws are Krishna, so in this way it's devotion. But because they don't see Krishna in it, it's not counted as agyata sukriti. So only when it's in connection with the devotees, then we call it a jnana sukriti. Does that make sense?
And those who, like, many times we hear even months chanted, only know.
Yeah, then they won't go, then Yamaraj, they won't see Yamaraj.
So they will be immediately taken to the next womb.
After they die.
After they die.
Yeah, not that you chant Hare Krishna. Oh well, nice hat.
Continue on the job.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so yeah, no, it's after they die. Then they're just wherever their Krishna ranges.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandini.